He's just babbling.
Yeah.
Yeah, babbling.
He's pretending to talk.
What?
He's pretending to
talk. Oh, are you pretending to talk into the microphone?
Do you want
to
watch Bluey?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, it's Devin, and we've got Sarah, and Hi. Wells is actually here for a very special intro to this podcast. He's kind of sitting on my lap watching Bluey, which is a show we talk about all the time. And actually, before we were watching Bluey, he was kind of babbling. So maybe we'll just have that as a light intro to this unique episode to our podcast, because you listening have been along with us on this pod for a lot of massive life moments, you know, our first child Wells, our marriage, so many other things, big and small. And something really cool that's been happening is, you know, along the way, you've been able to share the similar experiences that you've had in your lives. You know, we're all growing as people and things are happening to us. And that's been really special, you know, when something happens with us and you've kind of told us about your similar shared experiences. So to that end, we wanted to once again let you know about a big moment in life for the Rom-Com Rewind podcast.
We're having another baby.
Sarah is pregnant again. So, which is why we did bring Wells in on the pod. He's snuck into a battle of rom competence before.
He has, yes.
But aside from that, this is kind of his first experience, and he's watching Bluey anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, so to that end, a little bit of a different intro and a different episode today. Mm-hmm. But first, so we're going to have a little like, I don't know, sit down interview with Sarah to start this, because it's funny, when you were pregnant the first time, we did a few movies on the subject of that, you know, what to expect when you're expecting, mm-hmm. the backup plan, stuff like that, mm-hmm. Which is hilarious because we did that before everything went down. And now obviously we have that experience. So this episode is going to be a little bit of an, in case you missed it, a dive back into one of those episodes, but with a new intro. And I think we might even redo this episode at some point.
I think we should. I think it'd be fun to do it now as like a parent and then currently pregnant as well.
Yeah.
I think it'd be an interesting retrospective activity for me.
Especially like toddler parenting is, that is now a certain brand of parenting. Mm-hmm.
Not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, like newborn
is so fun though.
Newborn's funny. I was just on TikTok and I saw somebody post about like, oh, like what are some ideas for when your newborn has a wake window that's like 2 hours long? Like, what are the things I should be doing? And I remember us being like, wow, yeah, well, he's awake for 2 hours. What are we gonna do with him? And now it's like, dude, this kid is awake from 6:45 some mornings until noon, maybe, like, mm-hmm. what? Oh my God, that's like 5 hours. What do we do now? Lots of activities is the answer. Lots of stuff. But let's talk about you right now. So where are we at?
I'm entering the second trimester. First trimester, I gotta say, you know, second pregnancy, running around a toddler, I was really, 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 really tired. I don't think there's enough reallys in the world. This time I was definitely really tired. A little bit slower earlier on, but I'm hoping going into the next few weeks, I'll gain some energy is what they tell us that you get in the second trimester back. So hopefully that's to come. Everything has been pretty good.
The toddler thing must add a unique challenge, because the first pregnancy, you can just go to like 6 o'clock. You want to go to bed? Go crazy, girl. Now 6 o'clock is like, well,
oh gosh. Yeah. Like,
who's got bedtime? Do I have?
Yes, yeah. How early can I go to bed?
Yeah.
it's very true.
So, we are due end of September.
End of September. Yep.
Which means we have the whole summer to maybe dip our toes into different parenting things. So if there's a movie on pregnancy, parenting, anything like that, outside of like the easy two being the ones that we mentioned, the backup plan and what to expect when you're expecting, let us know. Fire us your DMs.
We could pepper it in maybe.
Pepper it in.
Yeah, throughout.
It's the world we're going to be in.
Yeah.
In a little bit. there's a long runway here. It's also not that long. When I think about it, I'm like, oh, September, like that's a long ways away. And then you're like, but then you add an extra human to your life in September. All of a sudden,
changes everything.
The heart starts beating a little faster. Let me tell you. So to that end, this is not a new episode of the podcast. We're kind of just doing it in case you missed it, because admittedly, can we be fully transparent? Yo, we need a week off here, okay?
Remember the really, 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 really tired? Yeah.
Back to your regularly scheduled programming next week.
Definitely.
But what you're going to hear now is an episode we did. Gosh, you know what? I just realized we weren't even pregnant when we did this movie originally.
No, and I think that's the big joke, is that we did these movies and we had no idea. You know what? I don't know if we were up to snuff on reviewing these movies, because we didn't know what we were talking about.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So I think it is needed us to redo these movies over the course of the next few months.
So I just looked back. What to expect when you're expecting? We did back in 2021.
Okay.
The backup plan, though, was the episode we did as an announcement
that we were pregnant. Oh, okay. Okay, fun.
So perhaps we need to revisit what to expect when you're expecting. In the interim, though, and maybe you can listen to this episode and be like, oh, they have no idea what they're talking about. Probably. Here it is.
In an ice cave.
What?
Yes, during the winter.
Like a man-made ice cave?
No, a naturally made ice cave.
Where?
On a lake.
Oh, my God.
Yes, the performance did not last long. Okay. It was so cold.
Oh, no. Did he get a little, I won't call it stage fright, but
no,
coldness?
Cold.
That'll yeah. do it for a guy.
Well, I mean, you're sitting on ice.
Wait, how, can you explain to me the setup here? He's on the bottom.
Yes.
Wow. So his bare butt is on the bottom of the, no, that's a horrible idea.
I think, yeah, I don't know.
Poor guy.
Well...
Welcome to the Rom-Com Rewind Podcast.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Devin.
And like you, I love rewatching movies over and over again.
And if you're here, you probably love romantic comedies. We do as well.
So this is a show where we rewatch rom-coms, break them down a bit for you, maybe take a peek behind the curtain, dig beneath the surface, and decide, does it still hold up?
Today we have...
What to expect when you're expecting.
And if you're listening to us on Spotify, make sure you follow us, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, leave a review on there as well. We love reading those. And you can connect with us on TikTok and Instagram at Romcom Rewind. We actually got a message from Karen just the other day suggesting the 2013 romantic comedy About Time. It stars one of the baddies from Star Wars, Domhnall Gleeson. Also, Rachel McAdams, Margot Robbie. You've never seen this one.
I have not.
It's an adorable movie, Sarah.
I have heard good things, now I want to see it even more.
Regardless, though, we're going to put that on our list. Today, though, What to Expect When You're Expecting, a 2012 romantic comedy directed by Kirk Jones. He also directed My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Oh.
Not the first one. Okay. Interesting.
The first one was a home run.
Yes.
The second one was pretty good.
Yeah. It was a follow-up.
Yeah.
This movie grossed $84 million on a $40 million budget, so it did all right. I think it's probably one of the most star-studded movies of 2012, though. This cast is deep. Because it's another ensemble cast, which makes it kind of difficult to...
Which, I don't know why we do this
We
to
keep
ourselves.
On doing it to ourselves. We're going to get through all the ensemble movies, and then we won't need to... deal with how complicated these are anymore, but I'm basically going to go couple by couple and kind of tee up each of their stories. So the main characters are, we start by meeting Jules Baxter. She's played by Cameron Diaz. She is a kind of like a celebrity weight loss fitness person.
Like a Biggest Loser kind of thing.
Yeah. And when the movie opens, she is a celebrity contestant on like a Dancing with the Stars style show. Her dancing partner is Evan Weber, played by Matthew Morrison. We find out literally moments into the movie, they've maybe been having a relationship on the show, and surprise, she is maybe a little bit pregnant.
Dude, she's totally doing him.
No way.
Don't question the sage insights of Starbuzz.
Shh. To our viewers' votes, and let me tell you now that this is the closest result we have ever recorded. May I have the envelope, please? Thank you. And the winner of Celebrity Dance Factor Season 15. Jules Baxter and Evan Weber. Let's hope she's not pregnant, folks.
and to note, I've met Evan.
Wait, Matthew Morrison? Like in real life?
Yes, I have met him.
What?
Yeah. We actually were chatting. It was like 5 a.m. We had just gotten off a flight.
Ugh, that's horrible.
Yeah, we had just gotten off a flight. We were chatting. He said he liked my glasses at the time. So
oh,
that's exciting.
That's nice.
But yeah, no, it was just him and his bodyguard. And so we just got to chatting and yeah, it was cool. He was really nice.
I've got a question though. Yeah. How did that conversation start organically, or did you say, "Hey, you're that guy"?
No, so he stood up. He was the seat in front of me, and the plane had landed, so we were gathering all of our stuff and putting it away. And he said, "Hey, I really like your glasses." And I said, "Thank you." I said, "Are you from Glee?" And he said, "Yeah, I am." And I was like, "Oh my God, it's so nice to meet you." And then we were just kind of chatting. It was really nice. He was very, very nice.
Mm-hmm. I always worry about meeting celebrities in these very, I don't want to say compromised moments, but it's like I met the guy from Letterkenny, mm-hmm. but it was like we're at Toronto Pearson Airport at like midnight. Everybody's miserable. Flights were delayed. And he was like there. And I'm like, oh man, like, I wouldn't want to meet somebody right now, so yeah. I'm sure he doesn't want me talking to him. And then we did end up, like, when all the rows were lining up, he was right behind me, so I said hello. But yeah, it's always like a...
Yeah, and that's exactly how I felt as well. Like, people ask me, oh my God, did you get a picture with him, or did you get his autograph? And I was like, it was 5 a.m. We both, you know, I especially looked terrible from, like, a flight that was 14 hours, 13 hours long.
He doesn't want that. I probably don't want that.
Yeah, and as we were actually walking by, he was walking out once we picked up our luggage, and there was a crowd of people waiting for him. Like, so I was like, you know what? That was a good decision not to bombard him with like a, hey, you're from Glee. Can I get a picture with you? And this was a time when Glee was really big as well. So, there were people waiting for him outside the airport for autographs, pictures and whatnot. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Matthew Morrison is Evan in this movie. And he is in a relationship with Jules Baxter, played by Cameron Diaz. Our next couple is Wendy Cooper. That is Elizabeth Banks. She owns the Breast Choice Boutique.
Yes, she does.
I gather it's a pregnancy store.
I would think so. Yeah.
Her and her husband, Gary Cooper, they're trying real hard to have a baby.
Real hard.
Also, his dad is Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid is a race car driver, overshadows his son. It's a thing. That's kind of a theme for their part of the movie. J-Lo is in this as well. She plays a woman named Holly, a professional photographer who is in the process of adopting a baby boy with her husband, Alex. He's played by Rodrigo Santoro.
Yes, and he is a recurring theme in our podcast.
Yeah, he pops up in movies.
He does.
I kind of forget about him.
So he was in The Holiday.
He was in The Holiday.
And we've also posted a meme on our Instagram of him in 300.
He was Xerxes in 300. Very strange that that's the same human. And then finally we have Rosie Brennan. That is Anna Kendrick. She works at a food truck, and she ends up hooking up with Chase Crawford, who plays a guy named Marco. Marco is also a food truck guy. Apparently, they know each other from high school. There's a connection there. Some love sparks. And honestly, there's like 30 other people in this movie. These, however, are our core stories that we're going to hang on to. They all kind of play out in a similar way, I guess. Spoiler alert, you might not have figured it out from the title. Everyone gets pregnant. And they all...
Or is going to have a child in some way. Yeah.
Right, yes. And they all have some kind of conflict during their... pregnancies or while they're getting a child, I guess. And it's just how everyone navigates all these different moments. So
I just wanted the glow. The one that they promised you on the cover of those magazines. Well, I'm calling it. Pregnancy sucks. Making a human being is really hard. I have no control over my body or my emotions. Scare Bear, I'm sorry. All I want to do is punch you in the face. Relax,
don't do it. We reserve the deluxe suite.
This is your father.
Husband, he's my husband. A lot of people say that.
I thought you said cute, Marshall, not hot.
Well done, Rosie. Well done.
You said I was cute?
Dude, she's totally doing him.
I knew I was going to have a rack this gorgeous. I would have gotten knocked up years ago.
This movie's cute. It provides good laughs, some typical things. that I think soon-to-be parents can face. I think it portrayed different situations that these particular characters were in and the things that they were going to face or were facing at the time, such as, you know, infertility. I think they could have expanded their storylines in terms of, you know, they brushed over some important things that they would, they could have dove into that were a bit darker, like, you know, I think more women are talking about miscarriages and things like that more openly these days. But I think there is still the stigma around, you know, unfortunately suffering by yourself and alone. Mm-hmm.
And they dove into that a little bit with Rosie's character,
yes.
Which I was actually happy about. Like,
yeah.
Okay, that's a real story that a lot of people unfortunately go through.
Yeah, and her storyline's really interesting. It was good that they dove into that. But I think they did a good job giving different situations that they were all in and that they all had to overcome and how to be soon to be parents in any regard, whether you were adopting or you were suffering from infertility or you got pregnant easily or, yeah. And I think it goes along with the lines of what to expect when you're expecting.
Wow. Almost like the name of the movie. I think you're exactly right. Because like an ensemble cast for movies like this, or like, you know, like a He's Just Not That Into You.
Yes.
What they allow you to do is that you, as the viewer, can hopefully at least relate to somebody's story.
Mm-hmm.
You might say like, like J-Lo and Elizabeth Banks. Those are fun to watch, but like not really for me. Like Cameron Diaz, though, wow, I connect with that character so much.
And we all want to be Brooklyn Decker. Played by, Skylar in the movie because has the world's easiest pregnancy.
Everybody knows somebody like that and they just quietly despise them.
Totally. Totally. I do talk more about it later on.
Really?
But yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, being able to wear heels and just sneezing to pop it out. Like,
yes.
Come on. We all wish for that.
And everyone knows that one person who it's like, do you know Beverly? She like didn't even know she was pregnant. It was wild.
That's the golden goose that lays the golden egg.
Yeah. So it's like everyone can kind of grab a hold of one character and say, yes, like my experience was just like Marco's. So now I'm connected to this movie a little bit more. And it's the duality that like with an ensemble cast, you do get to tell all these different stories.
Yeah.
And if you're watching this with your husband, boyfriend, fiance, whoever it is, don't worry. There is a pack of men. I think, what do they call them?
The dudes club.
The dudes club. No matter what, your guy is going to relate to somebody in that dudes club as well.
Yeah.
So it's fun for the whole family.
It is. So I love the picnic idea and the outside movie. I kind of want to go to one when COVID's over.
Oh my God. Yes. So Wendy,
cute.
Wendy and Gary do the outdoor movie thing.
Yes. And that's kind of the official time period when Wendy, you know, they've been trying for 2 years. They've been suffering from infertility. And she kind of says, you know what? Let's just give it a rest for a little bit.
She hasn't been drinking.
She hadn't drank anything in the last 2 years. And I've heard stories of people who I know personally who had been trying for years and years, and as soon as they stopped, they got pregnant. And in this case, this is something similar that happened. Gary and Wendy stopped trying to get pregnant and just, you know, had sex for fun,
I
guess.
In the bushes.
In the bushes.
Can we talk about that? So it's an outdoor movie. She
sure.
gets a little bit tipsy. She's like, wow, let's do it. And they have sex in the bushes
they
in
do.
A park.
In a park, yeah.
In my experience,
mm-hmm.
Those never go the way you want them to. Have you ever had done it in like a public place or maybe a compromised situation?
One thing I probably would never do is have sex on a beach just because it's
the sand
so
gets
sandy.
Everywhere.
Like, you know, in theory, it's a great idea,
sure.
But once you execute it, it's a terrible idea.
Yeah. And everyone kind of has that vision, like you're traveling to the Dominican or Cuba
so,
or something.
Like,
you're like, wow, wouldn't it be so cool to like do that? And then you're out there and you're like, this is a horrible idea.
Absolutely.
Nobody likes this.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody wants this. Yeah, I do. I think the most bizarre place.
Wow, you actually need to go back into the vault here
was
to figure
in,
out what
was
the
in,
answer is.
No, no. Just,
how many times
I'm
have
just
you...
I'm like, do I want to say this? Do I not? In an ice cave.
What?
Yes, during the winter.
Like a man-made ice cave?
No, a naturally made ice cave.
Where?
On a lake.
Oh my God.
Yes, the performance did not last long.
Okay.
It was so cold.
Oh no, did he get a little, I won't call it stage fright, but
no,
coldness?
Cold.
That'll do it for a guy.
Well, I mean, you're sitting on ice.
Wait, how can you explain to me the setup here? He's on the bottom.
Yes.
Wow. So his bare butt is on the bottom of the... No, that's a horrible idea.
I think, yeah. I don't know.
This poor guy.
Well, that's the way it worked out, I guess.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Just because it was, like, so cold outside and we were trying to stay warm. But anyway, what about you?
Oh, no. Like, I've done the... I'll just say, like, buildings that are not your home, that you don't live in.
Like somebody else's house?
No. Like,
like, okay.
I'm trying to say workplace, but not say workplace.
Oh, my God.
But then it's like, there are too many obstacles around, you know? You're like, things are happening, and all of a sudden, like, a laptop falls on the ground. You're like, oh, God, how am I going to explain this to my boss? Like,
so you've never walked into a desk and, like, shoved everything off of the
That's a
desk
totally
then...
unrealistic thing.
I know.
Everything smashes. Look at our desk right now. There's so much. There's literally three laptops on this desk. That's an unrealistic thing that they put in movies.
Oh, God.
You're going to tear everything off. Like...
The aftermath is just a shit show.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible. You're like, what have we done? This is a bad idea.
So much money is now smashed.
I mean, to be fair, it's not as bad as an ice cave. That's a horrible idea,
Well,
Sarah.
Yes.
Whose idea was it? Was it his idea?
I don't remember. Okay. I don't know. So they all get pregnant around the same time,
yes.
So it seems. Although, in the end, some of the dates don't add up, per se. They don't make a ton of sense. But when Gary and Wendy go to Gary's dad's house, Dennis Quaid, to share the good news, it turns out that he and his young, hot wife, played by Brooklyn Decker, Skylar, are also expecting. I will also add, he is a retired race car driver, huge house, a Margaritaville, and he kind of reminds me of a more successful, toned-down version of Ricky Bobby.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
Yes, he's got that vibe.
Yes.
He's more charming than a Ricky Bobby.
Oh, and sense and just is more put together and...
He's still a little bit of an ass, though.
Totally. But more charming than a Ricky Bobby.
Is Dennis Quaid too lovable for his character in this? Because he plays Ramsey Cooper, Gary's dad. There's the feud between them because Ramsey kind of pokes a lot of fun at his son constantly. We think it's all in good fun, but it turns out it's been kind of destructive for Gary.
Absolutely.
But I'm just like, every time Dennis Quaid smiles, I'm like, oh, it's Dennis Quaid.
Okay, Dennis Quaid's smile.
Isn't it?
Oh my gosh. It is just something from out of this world.
Yeah.
I love it. He turns around and just gives me those pearly whites, and I'm just like, I melt. I love Dennis Quaid.
Okay, wait. We're going to need to go through where every guy ranks in this movie, because if you pick, like, 60-year-old Dennis Quaid over...
over Chase Crawford's real good-looking, though, too. Yeah, he's a snack.
He's super good-looking.
He is very good-looking.
You know what
he's number one, for sure.
Really? Do you know what he's in right now? Something I've been trying to convince you to watch?
No, what is he in?
He's in The Boys.
Oh, yes,
Amazon
he
Prime.
Is. Yeah. He plays the fish boy.
The fish... Yeah, that's what they call him. The fish boy.
Do they?
No.
No, what is he called?
The deep.
Right. He's an asshole in that, too.
Might have some sexual connotation now that I say it out loud. Yeah, he is definitely an asshole.
Yeah.
But back to Dennis Quaid, though.
Yes.
He's just like... He's got this vibe where I feel like... Maybe similar to your Matthew Morrison story. Like, if I was just walking along the beach and Dennis Quaid was there... I think we'd have a really chill conversation, and I think he'd almost be like, hey, man, we're having some margaritas up here. I got my beach house right around the corner here. Why don't you come on? Yeah, come on up. You know, I feel like that's his vibe.
I do. I agree with you. I think he's pretty chill, laid back. I mean, I think he's just been in the business for so long, and that he's, I think he's just genuinely a nice guy.
Yeah. I feel like if I met Keanu Reeves today, he'd kind of have the same vibe. Like, hey man, what's going on? Oh, wow. So great to meet you. You know, like I'm so confident that he's not an asshole. Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I'm
going
to say.
Confident. I feel like there was like a bet coming on from that.
No, just like some...
I'm so confident that I'm going to bet you.
I'm going to meet him one day.
Yeah,
I'm going to show
say,
up
are
his
we,
house.
Are we going to get on a plane right
nice
now and go
it.
And find Dennis Quaid to prove your point?
Yeah.
Is that what we're going to go do right now? When we can't fly anywhere?
Yeah, just because some people you watch them and you're like, you're for sure an asshole. Mm. Like, I can't prove it, but I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so the doctor's office with Cameron Diaz. This was a really funny scene because I can kind of relate to this with how much research is too much research?
Oh, she loves, you know, pamphlets.
Loves pamphlets. And I'm pretty sure, like, I would do this. But where is the line? Like, is it too much information? Like, how much is too much information for soon-to-be parents? Are you just going to drive yourself crazy with this person's thoughts versus this person's thoughts? And we cannot forget the circumcision debate.
Yes. So, yeah, the tee up to that, like you were saying, yeah. Jules Baxter is just obsessed with learning everything about the pregnancy process, yep. What's going to happen. And she decides that her soon-to-be son does not need to be circumcised.
Right.
And her boyfriend, Evan, he's Jewish. And, okay, you know what? I've got a question. Because okay. He was, obviously, he disagreed yep. with her thought process.
Yeah.
How do you feel first about how they went about doing that? Because Jules Baxter is very much like...
Oh, type A.
She's type A.
Yeah.
My way or the highway.
100%.
This is what's happening.
Strong, yeah, yeah.
Evan's
absolutely.
Kind of the same, actually.
Yes.
We got two alpha characters in the mix here.
I think they're a big problem for them is communication. I think they don't listen yes. to each other. Mm-hmm. So I think if they had sat down and here's Counselor Sarah.
Yes.
If they had talked about what their thoughts were and actually listened to each other.
This is Counselor Sarah.
I think they could have come to a solution.
Oh my God.
A lot
a
easier.
Resolution.
A resolution. A resolution a lot sooner than the entire movie.
Right, yes.
And finding out at the very end that they didn't have a boy, they had a girl. So yeah. all of that. But I think what they were trying to show in the movie was that their relationship was so new that they were even still trying to get to know each other.
Yeah.
And I they are so type A personalities that they still had so much for themselves to figure out. And on top of that, were having a baby. So there was lots going on for them. And they were trying to figure out how they could handle it all.
But okay, so then the circumcision itself. Do you have any thoughts on that? Is that a weird question to ask you?
It is a weird question, I guess. I don't know how often they do it anymore. I think the only time, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but is if it has something to do with religious.
Yeah, it's become a little bit antiquated.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of doctors do it anymore. I think they'll do it, you know, in this case, he was Jewish. Mm-hmm. So does he have more sway over that car? I don't know.
Here's the thing. I mean, like, let's be real. It's 2021.
Yeah.
The female is doing a 100% of the work for the pregnancy. So you get the say in pretty much everything. But, like, except as a guy, let's be real. If I'm having a son, mm-hmm. I have experience with the equipment.
Personal.
Personal experience with the equipment he is going to be going through life with.
Right.
So I think I deserve a little bit of a, hey, here's what we're going to do with the kids, you know, snip or no snip. I think I get the say in that one, or at least some of the say.
I was going to say, I don't know if you get 100%.
It's a conversation.
I think it's a conversation. Yeah. Yeah. That's a hard one. I think it would really.
Don't say that. Oh. That's weird.
I didn't even mean to. That's a difficult conversation yes. to have with one another because I don't know what's right or wrong. And I don't know if there is a right or wrong in this situation, it's kind of personal preference, but I don't know if a lot of doctors do it anymore unless under circumstances.
You almost did it. Nice. Good recovery.
Under certain circumstances.
We need to stop talking about this. There's too many innuendos. We gotta move on.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay. Let us talk now about my favorite part of the movie. This is I'm gonna do my best scene now because I just want to talk about it.
Sure.
The Dudes Club.
Oh, that's my best scene too.
Stop, really?
Yes.
Okay, well.
Let's do them right now.
Okay, let's do it right now. We're gonna do the best scene. The Dudes Club is my favorite part of the movie. Their scenes are gold.
Yes.
Just pure gold falling from the sky. And Alex joining the Dad's Club, so that's J-Lo's husband in the movie. He joining the group brings the group from a 4.5 to an 8.5. Would you agree?
In terms of looks?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, well, there's a few guys on there who are kind of duds.
God bless them. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Nice
those,
guys,
those
I'm
high
sure.
socks, can I just tell every man?
Oh my
high
God.
Socks, pulling your socks to the highest height that they're on is not a good look.
How many of them
don't
had high socks?
Do it.
The
don't
funny
do
thing
it.
Is, I didn't even notice that.
Oh my God, I noticed it right away because
really?
It drives me nuts when guys pull
oh,
their socks
God.
All the way up their calves. Oh my God,
you know what
dude.
That means? That means I'm going to do that when I am a dad because I didn't even notice that.
No, I hate it. Oh my gosh. That's why, like, guys who wear ankle socks or like shorter socks, yes, that's appropriate. That's an appropriate sock for you to wear. Okay. Do not pull your tennis socks all the way up. That is my one piece of advice from today's podcast.
Oh man.
Okay, plus you gotta love Davis. He's the one who's not a dad, but works out in the same park and runs by them, flaunting his good looks and his freedom.
There's one specific scene, though, with the dads, the dudes club. They're talking about things that happen to children that parents try not to talk about. You know, yes. Or they just kind of, it's a judgment-free zone. Here's all the ridiculous crap that's happened to my kids. Yeah. And they go through, like, one guy's like, I caught my baby swimming in the toilet. And somebody else is like, my baby ate a cigarette the other day.
I caught him playing in the dryer. I picked up the wrong baby from daycare.
Yes, yes. My baby fell off a changing table. And somebody's like, how does that even happen? I think Alex says that. And all the guys are like, whoa, no judgment zone. Babies fall off things. It's fine.
Okay, what crazy things do you remember doing when you were a kid, though?
You know what? Knowing my dad, I'm going to throw him under the bus right now. I'm sure all of those things have happened to me. I don't remember this, but I remember it was a point of contention in the household when I was younger. It was the first Halloween that my mom didn't stay at home. She, like, went out to a party. Hey, mom's got to have some fun. So it was just me and my dad. And, of course, the first doorbell rings, and I'm, like, psyched. Oh, shit, yeah, let's give him some candy. I go running towards the door, and we've got, like, three steps down to, like, the entrance. And they had those metal, you know the, like, steel thing on the end of staircases that they used to do.
Yes.
Yeah, so I fell on the first one. Ooh. And my head connected with that steel part of the third one.
Ouch.
And I've still got a scar above my eyebrow.
Oh, that's what that's from.
And it's funny, my dad's recollection of the story is like, I saw you fall, I saw the blood, and I thought, oh my God, your mom is going to murder me. It's literally the first time, the first Halloween she's left. It's just me and the kid, and Jesus, now he's going to die.
And you know what? The head bleeds so much more, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, my dad dropped me down a couple stairs. Well, he didn't drop me, but I fell on his watch, so.
That is so
funny.
It's
a bad look.
Oh, my God, that's
a good
story.
Do you remember anything?
I'm trying to remember. I do recall, and I was devastated. I was pulling my brother in a wagon, and he fell out the back of the wagon and hit his head.
Uh-huh.
And it was totally my fault because I was running with the wagon,
and
I shouldn't have been. And then I abruptly stopped. So that's when he flipped out. It wasn't anything that happened to me per se. But yeah, I remember basically like he was like gone. And I was like, oh, my God, it's my fault.
I killed him.
I did it. But he was fine. The kid had a hard head, so.
The kid had I was going to say, he's a pretty, can take a hit.
He's resilient, so yes. But I did enjoy kind of like the Dudes Club and how they portrayed like almost the role reversals. So how Chris Rock, you know, he was a role model for the up and coming dads. He didn't know, you know, he could be that happy before kids, and he loves being a dad. And I think some of the dads, I don't know, like, were they stay-at-home dads? Were they more, like, did they have more of a care role for their kids? Especially the guy who said he was having a rough time because his wife had to go on a business trip and he had the baby, Henri. He had gotten sick and he was also tired.
And do you remember what was happening when he was telling that story and he was talking about how his kids, he's calling his kid Henry behind his wife's back,
100%.
Not Henri?
I do talk more about that later, but we can talk about it now.
Well, what I was going to say is that Chris Rock actually hands him a Mickey of alcohol to be like, here, man.
Yes, he does.
We know you're going through some stuff. And he's just like, yeah, my kid's name is Henri. It's horrible. It's really
what
funny.
What do you think about the name Henri?
A little Henry there just got sick. Here you go, big boy. Walk it off.
By the way, when we're around Kara, it's still Henri. Henry's on the DL.
Mm-hmm. Henri.
You got that, Alex? It's very important. That's the first rule. Don't talk about what we walk about.
Rule number one.
Got it.
See, Alex, women pretty much control the baby universe, and why not? They carried the damn things, pushed them out of their vaginas. You know, I never used to use that word for that part of the body, but trust me, once a baby comes out of it, it's a vagina.
Never go back.
Here we're free.
No, I hate it. That's stupid.
I don't think I could ever Unless you're French.
Right.
Unless you're French. But I think you'd have to be okay with some people calling your kid Henry.
Right.
who are not French. And I don't, what was interesting there was that I don't think they were French.
Like, we talk a lot about, you know, I've got a lot of Celtic background, so we talk about a lot of Celtic names, and it's like, I don't want people mispronouncing my kid Siobhan, like, Sioban. Like, look up the pronunciation on that and how it's spelled. It's horrible.
It is.
And everybody's going to make that mistake. So, if your kid's Henri, nobody's actually going to call him Henri. Come on.
Everyone's going to call him Henry.
Yes.
And it is true. Like, Siobhan is spelled, if it's Gaelic and spelled properly, it is Sioban.
Yeah, Sioban, yes. I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I would, because it's a heritage thing, but you just need to know, like, nobody's calling that kid Henri. So maybe don't do it, you know? Even the husband's not sold on this. So
no, he's drinking in the park.
He's drinking in the park over the friggin' Henri.
Oh my God. One thing I found interesting though was that there was no mention of like of money or, and I know this is a comedy, you know, about being pregnant and having kids, so they want to keep it light and fun. But some of the occupations that some of the women have, like, they wouldn't provide benefits per se. I guess the movie's way of showing this was when Alex and Holly had to pull out of their house because she lost her job and, you know, received the news that they could finally adopt. So
yeah, they were the ones having the money trouble.
Yeah.
Gary wanted to not use his dad's money, which I found interesting.
True. Oh, I forgot about that. Right, with the wad of cash that he would get.
It's only at the end when he's trying to get the epidural that he's like, Dad, give me some money.
Right. Oh my God.
Because I think Ramsey Cooper offers money at times and he says, no, I don't want your money, Dad.
Yeah.
You know what I find interesting about his character, though? I feel like they built up a character in their minds, probably storyboarding this movie, and they just never explained all of it because he's an orthodontist. And he appears to have an interesting job because there's one moment where he's like, babe, I gotta go. I think she wants to have sex with him because she's ovulating.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm taking a grill off Lil Wayne right now. Like, and you're like, what?
Pretty
he's
high,
like, it's my
pretty
first
high
grill. It's really cool.
Yeah, high profile.
Like, what? They probably had more of his story that they could have built out and they just didn't have time for it.
That's true. I never even realized that. Yeah.
So that was kind of just a one-off they threw in there. Like, I'm taking off Lil Wayne's grill.
Yeah,
I can't do this right now.
I wonder if they had bigger plans for that storyline.
Maybe there was supposed to be a Lil Wayne cameo and he fell through.
Oh, maybe.
Because there's a lot of cameos
in
this movie.
There
that
is.
Might be my honorable mention.
Oh, really?
Let's continue
interesting.
On.
Okay. Okay, so the movie did an interesting job, like I said earlier, at showing how pregnancies can be different for everyone. Mm-hmm. It seemed that in the movie that Jules and Skylar, so Cameron Diaz and Brooklyn Decker, had very easy pregnancies, very non-eventful, happy-go-lucky pregnancies, whereas poor Wendy had a tough pregnancy. She so wanted that glow, but instead everything else under the sun occurred, including peeing herself every time she got up.
That's an amazing, when she's on stage at that mom's convention or whatever, and she pees herself. And then she just has this rant on stage.
Before I got pregnant, you know, I just wanted the glow. The one that they promised you on the cover of those magazines with the pretty lady looking down at a perfectly round belly with that sweet smile. Well, I'm calling it. I'm calling bullshit. I'm calling bullshit on the whole thing. Pregnancy sucks. Making a human being is really hard. I have no control over my body or my emotions. Scare Bear, I'm sorry. All I want to do is punch you in the face. But I love you so much, so I don't mean it.
I love you too, sweet.
And I love it. I love it.
Maybe the most iconic scene from this movie? Like, obviously not our best scenes.
No, but
but
it was a close second for me, that scene. It was a pretty good scene. I loved it just because it was chaotic and it was funny and it was truthful. Brooklyn Decker, Skylar, she floats through pregnancy, still wearing heels. And of course, Jules, like we said earlier, who's a type A fitness guru, she just floats through as well, doesn't want to compromise on anything. Jules, you know, she gets put on bed rest after traveling the country to see past participants and how they're doing. One of her contestants being Wendy's husband, Gary.
Drop the pig, Gary Cooper.
What?
That's right.
Jules. Oh, my. Okay.
Is this like a documentary?
No, it's like a real thing. It's live.
This isn't actually for me. I was just picking this up for a friend. No.
Remember this guy?
See that guy?
Yeah.
Remember him?
Oh, Jesus. This is a one-time thing. It's a treat.
I thought you might say, but we've been doing a little recon on you. Nice sweater, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And so a lot of the movie was, like I said, centered around Elizabeth Banks and her journey through pregnancy. She was the most prepared, owned her own baby store, wrote a book called The Breast is Best. But when she eventually became pregnant after struggling with infertility for years, she had the most difficult time with it. And it was a struggle to watch that. And she struggles, you know, throughout the movie, I think wishing that it was one way, but it was completely, completely the opposite. And this all comes to a head, like you said, when she's at the conference and she has to use and borrow clothes with her coworker because she peed herself before going on stage in a dress that doesn't, you know, really work with her body shape at the moment.
Well, it's Elizabeth Banks giving a piece of clothing to Rebel Wilson.
Yes.
Just not going to work out. Physics, you know?
No, yeah. It's just...
Very uncomfortable at a baby convention
truly
thing.
A trooper.
Like, Rebel Wilson isn't my honorable mention, but she deserves something in this movie.
Does.
Like, Jesus, guys.
I liked her character in this. It was different than her character in Bridesmaids, the roommate.
Oh, yes, the weird roommate.
That gets the Mexican jumping bean.
Yes, yes, that's right.
On her back, yeah.
She has levels of strangeness, I find.
She does. She's good.
Isn't it romantic?
Mm-hmm.
She's actually not that strange at all in that movie.
No, she's good.
And I think I actually like Rebel Wilson the most. You know what? I've got a theory now.
Okay. A theory.
I think Rebel Wilson's strangeness is directly correlated to how many minutes she will be on screen. So if she's only on the screen for like 5 minutes, it's like, let's get the maximum amount of weird out of Rebel Wilson for those 5 minutes. But like an Isn't It Romantic, where she's going to be on screen for all an hour and 30 minutes. Okay, let's tone it down to like a three. Give me like a three version of Rebel Wilson, like out of 10.
Well, and do you think like she got those smaller parts because she, you know, she was very comedic. And then now that she's, you know, gotten bigger roles, she can actually be the actress that she wants to be instead of, and I mean, hey, who knows? Maybe she loved that character in Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Or maybe she liked the character that she was in Isn't It Romantic more. I'd be interested to know that, actually. Like, which character so far that she's played has been her favorite.
But you know what? You brought up a good point in that she can do all of them. And
yeah.
That's the great thing. She's shown that there's a breadth of acting that she can perform now, right? Because Isn't It Romantic? I thought she was pretty darn good in that.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the Pitch Perfect movies, those three movies, she was awesome in those movies. I love her in those. Yeah, I love her in those movies. Yeah. So from this conference, her business takes off because her video, all the women, because she's being so frank and honest about her pregnancy and how rough it's been and just truthful about the things that she goes through, and then it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Everyone's videoing her, and her business goes viral because the video went viral.
People appreciate when you can be vulnerable, right? And you
Absolutely.
Can talk about a real experience that they're probably going through, and they just don't want to talk about it either because it's like, oh, well, nobody's feeling the same way as me, so like, maybe I'm weird for feeling this way.
So the competition between Gary and his dad, the whole entire movie is hilarious. His dad, like, is really just not the father figure I think you'd expect. Having to compete with your dad for everything, I think in his mind he sees it as having a good relationship with his son, creating that competition. But I think for Gary, like, it's definitely a self-esteem downer.
We know people like this where it's like this father is a very competitive guy, you know, maybe he played like college football or something, and he has this yearning to compete. So then when he has a son, it's like, sweet, here's somebody who I can, you know, who I can play games with and compete with every day. Wow, I got a little mini me to compete with. But that mini me, much like Gary's situation, maybe doesn't want that.
Yeah.
And it ends up being kind of destructive, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like,
sorry to cut you off, but like, I think of having a son, and I'm like, oh my God, we're going to play so many video games. I'm going to crush him at Mario Kart.
Maybe that he doesn't like video games.
Yeah, and what if he doesn't like video games? What am I going to do, right?
Yeah. Have to find something else that he enjoys,
yeah.
that you can enjoy too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it did provide for some great entertainment throughout the movie, like especially the golf cart reconciliation scene.
Oh, that was good.
That was so funny. I have questions. When Gary tells them, like him and Skylar, that they're having a son, he one-ups him by saying Skylar's having twins.
Yeah.
Oh. So, Dad, Wendy and I have a little announcement to make.
We're pregnant. Oh my God.
Isn't that great?
So are we.
What? Are you kidding?
Yeah, hell's bells, I guess, is congratulations to all of us.
Holy, I had no idea that you guys were even trying.
No. We weren't.
No, look, son, there's no blanks in this pistol. Boom! You guys, you've been trying for quite a while, what, 2-3 months, something like that?
2 years.
Not everything's a race, Dad.
God.
And then they wanted to send out, because his last name's Cooper, so they wanted to send out invitations with like a Mini Cooper. And then of course Skylar and Ramsey actually like give people a pair of Mini Coopers because they are also having a baby that is a Cooper.
Beep beep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so funny. I felt bad for poor Wendy.
Poor Wendy.
Oh my God. Because yeah, Brooklyn Decker's strutting into the baby store to give them the baby shower invitation, and she's in heels and
even
great.
Rebel Wilson sees her walking down the street. She's like, oh my God, don't look at her. And Wendy's like, yeah, no, that's my mother, my stepmom.
that's weird, that is a weird thing. So for the most part, this movie tries to keep it light and funny. They do touch on some emotional topics, though, as well. They touch on, you know, when Rosie miscarries her baby, when Wendy loses a lot of blood in labor and she faints during her C-section. So they do try to touch on some more emotional items in the movie.
Like Rosie and Marco finding out that she had miscarried. That was a powerful moment. Mm-hmm. They don't even show the doctor, or you can't hear what the doctor is saying, but just based on the reactions you can see what is being told to them. That was really powerful. I'm glad that they had that in the movie, because like you said, it is a very light, funny movie.
Yeah, I mean, they painted the picture of everyone having really good relationships with their significant others. This storyline was an interesting one.
Rosie and Marco?
Yeah, because they hook up, she gets pregnant. Originally, he's like, hold on, wait a second. Like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, a few weeks later, we see them having like a great relationship. And is it that easy? Probably not.
Probably not. But they skipped over a few interesting conversations, probably.
So, I mean, obviously it's an ensemble cast, so they can't dive into it as much as they probably would have if, you know, it was only two couples versus like four or five. So, but I'm glad they at least touched on it.
I've got a question about the relationship, actually.
Okay.
So Rosie and Marco, they both knew each other from high school.
Yeah.
It didn't work out then. Mm-hmm. He asked her to prom, and then she said, I don't know. So he asked somebody else to prom.
Right.
And then they both ended up saying yes.
Yeah.
So he tried to take both of them to prom.
Yeah.
Never works out, Marco.
No, it doesn't.
Have you ever tried to take a swing, like a second swing, at somebody from high school, like maybe somebody who didn't quite work out, or somebody you dated, but later on you're like, hey, like...
I think so, yeah.
You think so?
No, I did. I did. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Not I think so, but yeah, I did.
Any reasoning why, or was it just convenience? Hey, you're here. I remember you.
No, I don't. I think it was just timing. Why not try again? How about you?
Oh, I had a premeditated thought process.
Oh, okay.
I was like, well, there was one girl specifically who it's like... No, there were a few, actually.
Oh, a few.
Who, I don't know, like, listen.
Right? You're being put on spot. How does that feel?
No. All I'm going to say is, as a guy, mm-hmm. I feel like there is a lot of pressure on the performance.
Oh, okay.
So in, you know, high school, first days of college, when you're first learning the ropes, you're learning how to drive this car, you're not great. It takes a few tries to drive the car well.
Oh my God.
So maybe later on in college, after a little bit of experience, I'm like, hey, you know what?
Some hours behind the wheel.
I didn't know how to drive stick before. I do now, and I would love to take this car for another test drive if that's cool.
That's hilarious.
That happened multiple times.
Wow, okay.
To great success. It's kind of like, hey, I learned some tricks. I'd like to show you these tricks that
some
I learned
tricks.
Because I didn't know those before, and I think they're pretty
dying.
Impressive.
I'm
am I the only person who's had this moment?
Probably not. No, I don't think so. Oh my God, you kill me. That's so funny.
Especially, like, I think back about my, and this is obviously never going to happen now, but I think back to my first, and I'm like, wow, that was a bad time. I'm thinking back now, and that was just... That was horrible. I'm sure she had a horrible time.
Oh,
looking back, I had
God.
No idea what I was doing, you know?
Well, she didn't either, so. So Holly's friend from work, from the aquarium, throws her baby shower at a bar and spills the beans to Alex that she lost her job. But back to the baby shower part. It's at a bar. Everyone's having a great time, getting wasted, singing karaoke. And then all of a sudden, a 9:30 p.m. alarm goes off and all the parents have to go home to their kids.
Sounds horrible.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, I hate that.
See, like, is that why you get a babysitter? So that you don't have to
Isn't that why? But didn't Chris Rock's character make a joke like, if we stay too late, the babysitter starts stealing stuff? Wasn't it something weird like that?
Yes. And while he's singing karaoke, he asks his wife, he goes, "You want to go home and make another baby?" And she just, like, the look on her face is like, "No, I'm going to kill you." No. Yeah.
Doesn't he have three?
Yeah, he has three. Yeah. And I think he asks, "Did you want to go home and make a fourth?"
No. Get snipped, bro. That's what March Madness is for, right?
Yes, that is. That is what I've heard.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. Oh, it was a really touching moment when Alex and Holly head to Ethiopia to adopt their son and go through the ceremony and all of that. I just wanted to throw that out there. Like, that was just, like, there's no question with it. But because we don't really talk about them too much in the pod so far. So
yeah, Alex, I think, has the most relatable story, at least to myself and probably to most guys before, you know, having a baby, or in their case, adopting, mm-hmm. is that, like, you're never ready. You might think you're ready, but then all of a sudden, like, hey, we're getting to the point where we're going to have a baby. If you're not stressed out as a guy, you're an idiot, because that is stressful. So, and he has a moment where Holly is kind of asking him, like, hey, like, what happened to you? Like, if we're in this, I need you to be in this. And he's like, honestly, like, I was just scared.
Yeah.
I was scared about having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't be? Yeah, you should be scared. He wasn't communicating it well, but like, that's a scary thing.
Are you crying?
No, I'm not. Stop it.
Devin's having a wee for
me.
No,
I'm not. Stop.
Fuck you. Stop. Stop. So kind of ending on, you know, a different note. Becoming a mom doesn't mean you have to carry the child. There's so many other ways of becoming a mom. And I think this movie did a good job at highlighting some of the other ones, you know, adoption, surrogacy, guardianship, fostering. There's so many different ways you can become a mom. Interestingly, everyone in this movie wanted to become a mom. There was only Rosie's character that struggled with it at first. And then she was fine with it, you know, once the security of Marco staying with her, which I think was great. But there are a lot of strong women who raise kids on their own. And there wasn't that piece. You know, another piece I think that they could have brought in was, I think the movie could have gained a lot from an LGBTQ representation as well.
A little bit of diversity in general would be nice.
Yeah, in general. Different representations of families even as well. There is a scene I want to talk about, though, that made me laugh and chuckle, because this is you. This is you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There's a scene where Gary can't find his keys and he's running around the house trying to find them. Wendy is, of course, in labor, and she's waiting at the door for him, yelling at him. You, Devin, leave your keys all over the house.
Yeah.
I have told you multiple times, if you leave them, and if you put them when you return to the house in the exact same spot they're going to be there in the exact same spot every single time.
But see, every time I come home isn't the same. Sometimes I have things in my arms, sometimes I'm mid-conversation, sometimes I'm on the phone. So, you know, I can't come home and put them in the same spot every time, because...
But you can.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can.
Every time I come home is different.
If you drop the things that are in...
Every day.
No way. Yeah. If you did this...
Sometimes I've got Tupperware in my hand, so it's like, I gotta go right to the kitchen.
And you do not know, if I am in labor, having our child, and you don't know where your keys are, I will kill you. I will kill you and find somebody else to drive me to the hospital.
I got a spare key. So I'm just going to use the spare key. The house is going to be unlocked.
I'll kill you.
Burglars, feel free to come on in.
And finally, the great Carmel or caramel debate.
Right, at the end. Who's debating about that? That's
Marco
and
Rosie.
Well, it's caramel.
It's caramel.
Whoa. No, it's not.
It is caramel. It is not caramel. I don't know where you got caramel from.
Caramel.
No, it's caramel is not a thing. Have you Googled caramel? I mean, caramel is...
The second A is silent.
No. Caramel. When you spell caramel, I don't spell it with a... It's not caramel.
Do you say bagel?
A bagel, yeah.
Ooh, okay. I do. You just lost every pronunciation argument.
What do you mean? It's a bagel.
It's a bagel. I feel like you said bagel.
A bagel.
Whoa.
It is a bagel.
You say it differently every time.
Oh, this is weird. A bagel. It's a bagel. Oh, I said it differently again. Okay, when I would like a cinnamon raisin bagel. I say bagel.
I agree that this is a really lovely movie. It was a great watch.
It was. It was a good one. I liked it. It was fun.
All had very pleasing endings. Are we into quick facts?
We are into quick facts.
Let's do it.
This movie is based on a popular book by the same name. As of 2011, more than 14.5 million books have been sold. Elizabeth Banks, J-Lo, and Brooklyn Decker are the only three actresses cast as pregnant women who have children in real life. Decker has a son, Jennifer Lopez has twins, and Banks has two sons via surrogate.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Cameron Diaz also has a child via surrogate in December 2019. And Anna Kendrick does not have any children. Kristen Wiig was offered one of the roles but declined due to scheduling conflicts with Saturday Night Live. I could see her in this movie.
Yeah, she could definitely be in this movie.
Yeah, she would have brought a lot, I think. Three of these actresses also star together in the three Pitch Perfect movies: Elizabeth Banks, Anna Kendrick, and Rebel Wilson.
Whoa! Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Normally we do best scenes here, but I think we've already gone over that. It's the Dudes Club.
The Dudes Club. All about the Dudes Club. Any scene with the Dudes Club.
So let's move on to honorable mentions.
Okay, my honorable mention stems from the Dudes Club.
Okay, who is it?
Chris Rock.
Oh,
I love
so good.
Everything about
the
this man.
The leader of the Dudes Club.
The leader, the mentor, the confidant.
The Yoda of the Dudes Club.
Yeah, I would agree. He is the Yoda of the Dad's Club, the Dudes Club. And he's phenomenal. I wish there was more of him.
I was going to say, he needs to do more stuff, and there should have been more of him in this movie.
Agreed.
My honorable mention, similar to yours but not quite, it's the cameos.
Okay.
So it's not just like this is an extremely robust cast, but if we're just looking at the celebrities playing themselves,
yeah.
First of all, that's never not interesting to me when it happens in a movie. But we have in this movie basketball legend Dwayne Wade right off the top.
Okay.
He's one of the celebrities in the Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, right.
Thing.
Yes.
I think he might be the first face we see because he was the first thing I wrote down when I was doing notes. Dwayne Wade, literally, right off the top.
Yeah.
Taboo from the Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, yes. He was one of the judges.
He was one of the judges.
Right.
Which is kind of like, okay, so you guys could only get the third best member of the Black Eyed Peas. Okay, all right, sure. Like Fergie wasn't available. All right. Maybe she was gone from the Black Eyed Peas by then. I don't know the timeline. Megan Mullally plays herself in this. Remember, so Evan is one of the dancers
yeah.
on the show.
Yes. Oh.
She ends up being
yes.
his next celebrity star.
Oh, God,
but she's playing
funny.
Herself as Megan Mullally.
She is, yes.
Yeah. And she's amazing.
I love her.
We also have Whitney Port. We have
yep,
Cheryl
Whitney
Ann
Port.
Tweedy. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
So she's also one of the judges on the show, but she was on, I can't remember if it was like the X Factor in Britain. She ended up dating and being a partner with Liam Payne.
Oh.
Like they have a son together.
Whoa.
Named Bear.
Oh.
Liam Payne and Cheryl Ann Tweedy have a son named Bear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I just thought that was an interesting fact.
That is a very interesting fact. I had no idea. Wow. My mind is blown a little bit.
What should have been? What do you have?
A what to expect when you're expecting Dad Squad edition.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
Yes. Like a spinoff movie, kind of like Knocked Up did for This Is 40.
Yeah.
And do a spinoff for What to Expect When You're Expecting, but a Dad Squad edition. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure Wendy's husband, Gary, joined the Dad's Club.
Yeah.
And Alex has now joined the Dad's Club or the Dude's Club.
That's
and
right.
And so has Davis. So there's really, you know, a pack of them. So let's dive into their characters because they seem pretty darn funny.
And you do have a diversity of characters, right?
Yes.
Like Davis, muscled
let's,
up.
Let's
like,
see if he turns into a dad bod, you know? Like, I want to
oh
know that.
Oh my God, that would be a fun little
right?
story arc.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Rock is always going to be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, there's something there.
Yeah.
Can I make one small suggestion?
Sure.
Because you mentioned This Is 40.
Yeah.
I would love for Paul Rudd to just be like a little,
oh,
maybe a little
yes.
side character. Throw
bless
him in there
us
somewhere.
With your presence, Paul Rudd.
God, Paul Rudd could literally be in any movie ever.
I love Paul Rudd.
Like, give me a horror, like Scream 5, sure. Paul Rudd.
He may be on my Mount Rushmore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to do another Paul Rudd movie
yes,
then.
Yes, yeah,
what
definitely.
Else can we do?
I love you, man.
Let's think about it. Yeah, oh my God, great idea, Sarah.
Slap it a base.
Slap it a base. My what should have been, I didn't know where my mind was going here, but I just couldn't leave Anna Kendrick alone.
Okay.
Like, I know she ended up with
Marco.
She should just be in more romantic comedies, I think.
Oh, I really like her.
She does have an interesting vibe where she always does these really dark or confused or distressed characters. But, like, I think she could have easily starred in Set It Up. Yeah, I think she could have done that character really well. Like, yeah, you literally carbon copy, just put Anna Kendrick in that. I just want her to do more stuff like this.
I think she had a good run with the Pitch Perfect movies with the three of them. And so that took up a good chunk of her, of a few years, really.
Yeah, you're probably right. She had that Noelle Disney Plus thing.
Yes, that was so cute. I loved that movie. Yeah. Noelle, that was a good one.
But she's a great actress. And seeing her performance in this, it's like she can, she doesn't shy away from more difficult content matter, I guess.
Yep.
And I think that's really important to show, especially in 2021. So, rewatchability.
My rewatchability is Chemistry 4, Storyline 3, Thirst Factor 5, Imagination 3, Soundtrack 2, Cheese 3.5.
Soundtrack 2, Sarah.
Yeah.
There were some songs in this. I don't remember them off the top of my head, but I feel like they were there.
Exactly. For a total score out of 5, 3.4.
For me, Chemistry 4, Storyline 4.5. There's like so many of them. There's got to be something you like. Thrust Factor or Thirst Factor, 4. Imagination, 4.5. Soundtrack, 4.5.
You're too nice with the soundtrack.
Cheese, 5.
Oh.
For a total score of 4.4, Sarah.
Wow.
How am I nicer about these movies than you are?
I'm committed.
This has been the Rom-Com Rewind of What to Expect When You Are Expecting. Make sure you follow us on Spotify if that is where you're listening. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Leave a review as well. And we're on Instagram and TikTok at Romcom Rewind. Want to throw out one other person. Mayla said she wants us to do What's Your Number? Maybe she just likes it for Chris Evans.
I like it for Chris Evans.
Probably.
Would you not?
Yeah.
Well, you'd probably like it for Anna Faris.
And that was, I love Anna Faris. That was like early Chris Evans, though.
It was
just becoming a thing.
It was a really good movie. I think there's, I'd like to watch that movie again.
Certainly on the list. Thank you for the suggestion.
Thank you.
And if you have any suggestions, like we said, you can review on Apple Podcasts. Literally just leave something there and we'll read it. Or on Instagram.
Thanks for listening.